The Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks from her debut solo album, Belladonna, in 1981. What a track that was. Jammo. Sampled by Beyonce in later years. My apologies go out to Kelly and Michelle because, of course, that was a Destiny's Child sample. Yeah, look, what a track that was. The song features a distinctive chugging 16th note guitar riff. Jammo, you're an aficionado. You're a guitar nerd. You're an aficionado of all things guitar theory.
Yeah.
What do you know about chugging?
Not much. And I think, obviously, Stevie Nicks just knows a little bit more than I do. She created her own sound.
She did.
Just like sort of the Clapton wah or the Jimi Hendrix chord. Mm. Now there is the Stevie Nicks chug.
Chug. And speaking of chugging, didn't she chug so many nose beers that she blew a septum? Is that like a... Yeah, yeah. No, I thought that was right. Yeah. So, look, what a great band they were.
Stevie Nicks,
the band that she used to be part of.
She probably fucked all of them. Yeah, and that's why it's,
no. So according to Stevie Nicks, the title of the song came from a conversation she had with friend of the podcast Tom Petty's first wife, Jane. So about the couple's first meeting, Jane Petty said they met at the age of 17, but she had such a full-on southern drawl to her accent that Stevie Nicks couldn't understand it and thought that she said the edge of 17.
Oh.
And then the rest,
Kiwi, is she?
Yeah, yeah. The rest they say is history.
Or South African.
Yeah, something just misheard.
Edge.
Yeah, I better write that down.
Yeah.
Got to relive my chugging riff.
Yeah.
I've got... It's ridiculous.
Sure.
Ridiculous.
So, you know, Dave, you're the Perth scene, obviously, when you're not seeing seminal 90s Australian punk bands play hit songs like Nobody Likes a Bogan and such and such, do you ever hear any chugging guitar riffs?
I did. Well, I went and saw Fleetwood Mac about 3 months ago, so I think there were a few chugging riffs.
You would have heard this chugging riff in the flesh.
Oh,
they were shit though, weren't they, Dave?
Was that with Neil Finn?
Rather than Lindsay Buckingham. Yeah, yeah. There was a few issues going on, I think, with
Fleetwood
Mac over the years. But all good. No, it was a good show.
Were there a few internal culture problems?
There's an external review that's still pending.
Lots of camps. Lots of sleepovers.
Yeah, a fair bit of that.
Why did you choose that song, Tyra?
You chose it. I wanted to choose something else, didn't I?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
No, yeah, it's
no. It's quite late. It's like it's about 10 o'clock here. And it's,
I would have gone with Tusk.
It's about 1 o'clock in the
morning. Oh, you've just gone with Tusk.
Gone with Tusk.
We played Tusk, haven't we?
Quite possibly. Great song. We might go out with Tusk.
Yeah.
Look, it's been about a month or more. I think it's been about 6 weeks actually since our last pod. Just as the season just spiraled down the toilet.
The toilet.
We got sick of saying the same shit over and over again.
And we predicted it about 4 weeks before it happened. Yeah. So like we'd dust our hands
That's
off
it.
And we're
walk
all
away.
Good.
And so, you know, we had the Collingwood loss. We had the Bulldogs loss at the end
that
of the
was
season.
Insipid.
We had it was woeful. Then Pikey. Yeah. Pikey decided after having a pizza party at his house, he decided he was done. So he walked. Then we had the review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the review, you know, it came up with some interesting findings. It was a pure football department only review, though.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
A transparent review.
We'll dig in a little bit more
we will.
In a second. Yeah.
So we had the review. The review led to two key immediate actions.
Transparent.
Yeah.
One being Camporelli being moved on. And, you know, good servant to the club.
Yeah.
He did his job, but I think, you know, he just... it was time for a break, just like when Stevie Nicks decided to leave Fleetwood Mac. And the other was the Turd Man. And let me tell you, the corks came out of the champagne bottle on the afternoon that was announced. all over Crow Land.
Yeah.
There was dancing in the street. People were just kissing strangers. It was amazing. You know, the flowers were smelling nicer.
Yeah.
You know, the traffic was easier on the way into work. Yeah, right. It was just everything.
Yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful Adelaide weather.
Oh,
just,
look.
The third man left.
Yeah, just the sun, the clouds parted.
And then we just reminisced about what a few fantastic marks he took.
Yeah, yeah, like did, back in did the a couple heyday. Of speckies. Yep. And then missed a few set shots after the speckies.
Oh, yeah.
And then fucked a football club with his shitty program.
Two clubs.
But I like to think that sort of, just as the Crows is sort of run like communist China, that part of the history would just be erased.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so like our kids growing up, they'll just never, all they'll know of the third man is that he would, you know, a few specky marks, stay out as a wingman, end up being a full forward.
Yeah.
Mm. That is all.
That's all we know.
That's all he ever did at the club.
And then after the review landed, the absolute steaming turd that is trade week and a half landed on us. And we didn't really want to do a podcast then either, because all it would have been us just raging about the state of AFL media.
Yeah.
We'll rage about that a little bit later on in the episode.
Look forward to that last half an hour.
But finally, we got through trade week, which, let's be honest, could probably be done in half an hour, just because that's pretty much all the clubs really need. It cuts out a lot of the bullshit. And then we got a new coach.
Yeah.
New coach was appointed.
Yep.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks.
She lost her hair, though.
She's lost her hair. Yeah. Got her nose back.
I did say... first thing I noted, he was bald.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I instantly think about
Kenny Hinkley.
So I think bald. We're going to upset some listeners, I presume, here, but I'm worried about his baldness.
Yeah, right. Do you think that the baldness is can you think of any other good bald coaches?
Isn't Longmire
bald? No, the only good one is Blight and Matthews.
Lee Matthews.
And that's not sort of totally bald. That's just a big...
That's balding. Sort
of balding.
Yeah.
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 No completely... No Ken Hinckley's.
Mm.
Dave?
Roy Laird.
Roy Laird of Central Districts.
Would have coached the AFL if he wasn't scared of flying.
Yes, that's
right. Oh, wow.
Is he the Dennis Bergkamp of the...
AFL. Horribly terrified of flying.
Yeah, is that right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, Coach Collingwood then. Fine.
Yeah. There's one.
Mark that one down. We'll do some deep links. Deep links direct to 8 minutes.
8 minutes, okay, you just cut that out.
So yeah, we didn't record because it was just an absolute joke. And why should we? We're back. This would probably be it for the year, I think.
This
guys.
Is the big season wrap.
This is the season wrap. So should we start with Pike?
Yeah. Yeah, let's start with Pike.
Is there much to say? Looking back now, he kind of... We were semi-surprised, I suppose, that he went, but, God, he was the most boring engager to the fan base we've had yet, and even worse than Neil Craig, probably. And you do wonder, could he connect with the group when he is that grey?
Mm.
So maybe it's a good thing. What do you think?
Look, I think I think that you've definitely got a point there. I also think that Pike is one of those people that isn't 100% in consumed by football. Like he's got a life outside of football. Yeah. It's not like he needed the job to feed his family.
Strong eye on the AFR each week.
Yeah, So you know he's not short of a crust, as some would say. You know, I think he probably just thought, you know what, I'm jack of it. I've had enough, I might get the boot in a month's time anyway. So look, I may as well just pull the pin now while I've still got my dignity.
Yeah. Well, we don't know how. I know of his daughter in Perth. They go to the best schools. I don't know how if he's completely laced with cash, but because he has said that he wants to remain in the football industry, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with him because he's obviously getting linked to Freo. He's never going to Freo.
Because he's West Coast.
West Coast. Okay. And West Coast will find him a job, I'm convinced, in the next years. I don't know. I think it's probably a good thing.
Mm.
There was enough rumblings to suggest that he was part of the problem.
Mm.
And the players clearly weren't playing for him. We discussed this, you know, does the head of football really impact that much on your day-to-day performance or your week-to-week performance when all the messaging's coming from the coach? I don't know.
Mm. And Camporelli, who was probably delivering a lot of the messaging as well, being that he was the senior assistant. So the fact that he was given the chop...
Yeah, that's an interesting one,
probably assisted, because it then meant that whoever comes in to replace Pike gets a bit of... At least can appoint one person.
Yeah, well, you'd think that if Campo got the arse, that Pike probably would have got it too, I presume, but... What do you reckon, Dave?
Pike got out at the right time, I think. The review has obviously highlighted that Camporelli was a bit of an issue. There'd been rumblings that Camporelli wasn't getting on with certain players, and that they'd also, you know, that issue with Jenkins, that Jenkins had a falling out with Pike. So clearly that it was starting to get a bit personal. How much we want to talk about things from years ago, i.e. the camp, that's whether or not that's still an issue. There was clearly personal issues between the coaches and the players, maybe between the coaches. Pike's not an idiot. I think you mentioned that he's got plenty of things going on outside of football. Like he's a highly educated man. He would be thinking these things through himself, and probably just came to the conclusion that this review is going to either find that I'm the issue, or that people that I'm in control of, I'm in charge of, is the issue. Captain goes down with a ship type situation, and I think he did the right thing by pulling the pin when he did. And it's allowed some free air. It's allowed the club to move forward with moving players out, with moving some of the coaches and admin staff out, and has assisted with this, you know, rebuild, mini rebuild, whatever you want to call it. So I think he did the right thing by the club. Whether or not he would have got the arse, I don't know. But
have got more stuck into us if he got sacked through the review, I suppose. And would have been. So it's probably a good thing.
I feel a bit sorry for the guy. He took on like an awful situation. At no stage has he ever sort of said, "I'm going to stamp my authority on this." It's always this respectful, you know. We're just extending what Phil Walsh did.
Campo during that, you know, that 6 month period where he was the interim coach did some amazing things for the football club too. And obviously John Worsfold was there as well. You can't. It's hard to get too upset at them or, I don't know, trying to lay too much blame on them. But clearly things haven't worked for the last 2 years, and that's what you get judged on ultimately. So I'd hope the most fans aren't, you know, burning effigies of them as they kind of were packing up their lockers. But
I think also the when it was announced that he was leaving, the overwhelming sentiment was the wrong guy's leaving right now. Because the review hadn't really started yet, and so the knives were out for Burton. They were out for Ricciuto, and they're out for Fagan, and they're out for Chapman. But Fagan and Chapman were conveniently not part of the review, and conveniently came out smelling like roses.
This is my
little paragraph at the end. And by the way, the two people that commissioned the review are fantastic, outstanding gentlemen.
Yeah, even though the review had nothing to, we weren't supposed to talk about.
We were promised a transparent review. Sorry, I think we're moving on from Pike now.
But
we were promised a transparent review. There's nothing transparent about it. Told from Rowan Bix, it's a 52-page report. Well, it may be 1,000 because no one's going to see it. They haven't seen it. They just got told it's 52 pages. Got told it's just about the football department. But for some reason, there's comments about Fagan and Chapman. Just absolutely outrageous. And both claiming that they were the ones that commissioned
instigated it.
Do they know about the roller skate medical device conflict? Is that reviewed?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. You say that. Google that yourselves.
Yeah. Steve Saunders, Rob Chapman's Google.
David Pittman.
Yeah.
And then Chapman sort of, when he's questioned about it, saying, well, I haven't read the actual document. We just got, you know, Mark, what's his name? Dunstall
and Pav.
Yeah, presented to us. And that's the sort of feedback we get. So it's all.
It was a fantastic. Did anyone listen to the Chapman interview on 5AA?
Where he got very defensive.
Yeah, and
very quickly.
Bickley for once stood up, but then he sat back down
I think Bickley asks some pretty good questions, but he also knows how his bread's buttered. He'll want to get back to the club eventually, so he can't ruffle too many feathers, but he said some fair questions.
I love when Chapman went, "I'm the best man for the job and I'm going to continue on." Like, it was just, it was fantastic. Fantastic in terms of watching someone make a dick of themselves.
Yeah, well, that's, just...
Because that's the best theatre.
It was a farcical. It was a farcical. Friday afternoon, the review was released, which is incidentally sort of when most politicians release shit. When the budget's not going to get into surplus, it's always released Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Look, the thing is, there's a degree of... I think the fans wanted transparency. Some fans wanted to read the entire review.
That was probably
never. But it was never going to happen because when you're in a corporate environment and someone does a 360 review or any sort of review, there has to be an assurance of confidentiality. Otherwise, you're not going to say my boss is fucking useless because of X, Y, Z. Because then your boss reads it and goes, "Oh, Slugger said this," and then you come back from lunch and your pass doesn't work, and you've got a fucking like post-it note on there.
I do understand the confidentiality side of things. Like, you promise the guys that it's confidential, so it's not going to get released. I do understand that Crows actually have some IP that they don't just want to give out. There's value there that they're just not going to share around. At the same point in time, we never saw any document that was released for another review. The review could release a special executive summary just for the public. You know, they could just be... Because all we've got are dot points from the advertiser, from Andrew Capel or whatever the fuck his name is.
He's in trouble now, is he?
Well, no, he's obviously just being told what to write as his shtick. Here it is.
Here's your media brief. There it is. Here's your quotes attributable to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and
there you go. Bob's your uncle. Plug it in. And that's why the news articles about the review said the exact same things and the exact same quotes because the Crows media managed it.
I totally understand that this has to be confidential. That's fine, but it's just very disappointing.
What did you want?
I would have liked a graph. No, I didn't need a fucking graph.
You want some Venn diagrams?
First of all, I would have, if you do a review... I would have fucking liked an opinion out of it. I would have liked a suggestion. They're saying that all it was findings, no suggestions. Mm. You fucking paid just to find? Mm. Why don't you get a teacher off the street to do that? No. You're just recording numbers.
What's wrong with teachers?
Nothing, but it's...
They've got a good analytical mind?
No, but that's like, why are you bringing in all these specialists if all you're doing is bringing in facts? You're there, Dunstall and Pavlich are there, and these sports scientists are there for a fucking opinion.
Mm.
Like, give your opinion.
Maybe they did. But maybe it's
confidential. No, it's not. No, but it doesn't sound like, you know, at the party line was facts. It was not that we took on it. The question is, how many of the findings did you accept and take on board? There was no findings.
Well, one of the findings, there was the finding about self-preservation mentality.
Yeah.
In that people were all concerned about their own personal reputations. And so, and that could have gone through players and coaching staff.
Yeah. Okay.
But that did come out at least. And so...
I guess when I said finding, I meant when there's a recommendation. There's
no recommendations.
Like, how many do you take on? When there's a review of something, there's...
Well, there must have been recommendations because they...
But you listen to...
You listen to 5AA,
SEN, you've read Andrew Capel's...
Yeah, but you can call, like, I've done these things before, you call these things findings, but they've got to be recommendations in a way, because you find something that this is broken, right? And so that's obviously, it leads to a very obvious recommendation. So, you know, like... They've sacked people, right? So there must have been things there.
Yeah, no. I don't know what... I guess I was just hoping for more.
Mm.
I was slightly hoping for more.
What were you
going to
get?
Hoping for something that wasn't from just the mouth of Fagan and Chapman. Yeah, right.
Did you want some salacious office gossip?
No, it wasn't like even us.
Brett
gossip.
Burton once pissed in the kettle in the office kitchen.
You wanted to know that...
You Perth guys probably haven't heard that. That happened at SA Health.
Yeah. What? Someone at SA Health pissed in a kettle in the office kitchen.
To piss people off.
And then, as the kettle got boiled, the urine got more and more concentrated and dank.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know, but when you boil piss, it stinks.
Yeah.
But it took a year to finish that, by the way, that finding as well, to get rid of the person. But, so it's... No, I wasn't after the piss in the kettle story. It was more just something that wasn't crow... Like, you know, the crow's injury report, which says... Yeah, says Cam Elsheimer will be back in 2 weeks.
Josh Jenkins just got winded and he doesn't have cracked ribs and
miss, like, yeah. And Brad Crouch is
he's got a tight groin and only this 1 week instead of the entire season.
Yeah. And we have to instead get injury updates from Campbell Brown.
Yeah, but they know that. Like, yeah, anyway. Okay.
So I think we've got, I'm sorry. That was I promised I wouldn't get too upset, but that was the real fucking thing.
Dave, did you have any other passing comments, lasting comments on the review before we move on to the turd man and Campo?
I think, similar to what James is saying, some kind of summary, official summary from the club would have been good, other than trying to, you know, reading about it in the advertiser. It's,
From the AFL website, Dave.
Sorry?
I read on the AFL websites where I got it.
Oh, well, it's a pretty average recap.
I reckon Lee Gaskin would have been from the same hymn sheet, so to speak.
You go back to the Tippett gate. You know, there was Triggy promised that, you know, the fans were going to know what happened. We still haven't heard anything what happened there. There's clearly reasons why some of these things aren't ever released.
There's some lumpy carpet. You need
to look after confidentiality and all that, but it's just, given how many, you know, fans were ready to burn the place down 5 weeks ago. You think they could have done a bit better effort?
And a lot of fans still are, Dave. A lot of fans are furious. There's a few out there on the Twitter that are.
Yeah, there's one particular guy who's going hard. He's going hard at podcasters as well. Who's that? I forgot his bloody name.
We'll dig him up later. But he's having a right pop. Yeah, Dickie. He's having a right pop at Fagan. Fagan. Yeah, he's lined up Fagan and has basically said Fagan is is a disgrace.
He hasn't had a pop at us because thankfully no one listens to us.
I still need to know. Anyway,
I think it's similar to what Chapman's obviously
has announced when he's going to, hand to over leave. The reins. Is Fagan the same or is Fagan?
No, Fagan's safe as house. Fagan is as safe as a house. He's Chappie's said he's leaving at the end of next year, no earlier and no later. Whereas Fagan, there's been no talk about Fagan. Some of his past has come up where a few dissenting voices have looked into what he was doing at the ACT Brumbies before they left, and you know, some sort of weird property sale ended up with the ACT Brumbies calling in the police to look at some numbers.
Really?
We at the Crow's Nest podcast are not suggesting at any moment he was involved in anything criminal or nefarious.
but if listeners want to tweet us and tell us all about it.
But the fact that people are reporting on this sort of stuff is evidence enough that there's a little bit of scrutiny going on.
But Dunstall said he was elite.
Yeah.
If Dunstall said he's elite.
Well, Dunstall's still involved at Hawthorn, so doesn't he have a vested interest in keeping us down?
And the Melbourne Stars, which is probably why he was happy to see Keith go.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, okay. Interesting. Whatever. Right. So, Burton Camporelli. So, we talked about Campo a little bit earlier. He did a great job following the Phil Walsh tragedy. I don't think anyone wishes him any ill will at all, Campo.
I want him to get another job, another club, do
well. He was always a little bit abrasive in the media, but whatever. I never thought he was fantastic, to be honest. I'll stop touching my pen. He was never going to get the Carlton job, even though people spoke about it. I don't know. Good riddance.
I think it was time for a change.
Time for change.
Yeah, time for change.
Back to your construction company, Campo.
You're right. He's in the construction game, is he?
Yeah, he's got... I walked past the house a couple of years ago, and he was the project manager for it.
Yeah, right. Okay. The foreman.
Yeah. Oh, no, not the foreman, but like the PM. Yeah. And he had his mobile phone number
on the...
I was thinking...
Did you add him to the Crow's Nest WhatsApp group?
Well, I liked him at the time, so I didn't prank him.
Yeah, right. But yeah.
If anyone's interested in calling up Campo, look out for his construction site.
Oh, well, he likes to wet his beak in lots of things, obviously, old Campo. Turd Man.
Nothing, there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with wetting your beak in lots of different things. And you've got to feed your family.
Yeah, well, as long as it's...
If you don't feed your family, then you're failing. You know, would you rather not feed your family and not be wetting your beak?
Well, you probably need to get things signed off.
Dave, speaking of wetting beaks.
Yeah. Big beak wecker.
Big time. Campo, any passing thoughts on Campo?
Oh, no, I think, again, you've said everything that needed to be said. He'd been there for too long, getting a bit stale, needed to move on.
How do you pronounce his name?
Sorry?
How do you pronounce his
name? Just before you answer this, Dave, Dave is obviously from Glynde, which is right next door to Campbelltown. he knows a fair bit about Italian culture.
Yeah. He's got a lot of citrus.
He has tomato sauce making days.
And a shitload of cement.
With his old 1950s tomato grinder. Tell us, Dave.
That's definitely Camporeale.
Okay.
Just like we said before, I think you've got to credit where credit's due. He helped the club through, obviously, probably the most difficult time, and hopefully the most difficult time the club has to go through. Kind of held everyone together, and needs to be noted. I think that is absolutely right.
Put in there,
you just noted.
Good on your Campo. Noted. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Build some good homes.
So speaking of holding things together, holding clubs together, holding players together, holding players' hamstrings together, holding their shit together, the Turd Man.
The Turd Man.
So I think his cards were marked the day that shambolic press conference took place. He was like the naughty boy stood in front of the headmaster with a face like a slapped ass, he was just belligerently denying any wrongdoing at all, and offering the shittest answers to the assembled press. So much so that Pike, after sitting back gleefully for the first couple of minutes, just watching Burton just squirm in uncomfortableness. Eventually stepped in like the only adult in the room and actually answered some questions from the press pack. And since that day, I think that was the opportunity that the club had and the Turd Man had to clear it all, but it didn't happen.
Oh, I'm still fucking talking about it.
Yeah, and he just kept on digging down.
Well, the fact that Cornsey, Bickley and Rowie spoke about it on the radio 2 weeks ago and said there's stuff that players have told me about the camp that I don't want to talk about on air because they've said not to say it, means that the camp's going to continue to be an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Nick's does something. Like, I know we're jumping up to Nick's now, but I've seen Nick say something like, I'm not going to go back into the past and dig around when looking into the future. But if he does... He needs to do that really well because if he doesn't address it in some way and just goes, oh, yeah, don't worry about it.
I think you can address it, though. Well, you go, Dave. You go, Dave.
I was gonna say, on the camp, talk about the camp or not if we need to, but the AFL signed off on it, right? So the Crows had to make a presentation or open the books or players were interviewed by the AFL integrity and it got signed off, right? Apparently, so so does that mean that the people were
they're complicit?
The truth? Are there things that are going on, or are people not telling the truth, or are people, you know, are stories being made up? I don't quite understand where that's kind of got to.
I think it's a case of, and again, I'm speculating here, but based on what the sort of shit has appeared consistently in the press, like obviously someone's talking to Caro for her to continually say the same things. Choco Williams was a little bit unhinged with some of his Guantanamo Bay suggestions,
and he wonders why he won't get head of football at the Crows.
But the sort of talk about things that were allegedly said to Sam Jacobs things that were said to some of the Aboriginal players that upset them, and there are those sorts of things. And then, and even if you just remove all of that and go, okay, look, these guys are clearly were not professional psychologists. One could argue that they were the opposite end of the spectrum to professional qualified psychologists. Mm. And very close to snake oil salesmen.
Yeah, quasi.
Quasi. basically astrologists.
Gypsies.
The thing is, what the Crows did is they took a club, what the Crows administration did is they took a club who had gone from the most unimaginable depths of tragedy and had pieced it all together enough to then contend for the premiership, had been the best team all year and just had a bad day on grand final day.
Yep.
There is a good chance that if they didn't change anything about the club at all and just tweak the game plan just a tiny little bit,
Richmond this year,
they would have been there again the next year. Maybe even then again this year. But instead, they decide to go in and go, nah, let's really fucking stir these people up and just try and take them to the next level and twist the knife. And it just...
Well, they took a gamble, right?
They took a gamble and it backfired spectacularly.
Yeah.
And those responsible for it, basically, like the end result wasn't, we're going to now motivate you to do even bigger and better things.
Mm.
The end result was senior players, mid-ranking players...
Yeah.
Junior player, basically all the playing group going, you guys are fuckheads for what you're doing. Like, don't you understand the journey we've been on, the shit we've been through, and then this is, and then you bring in these fuckwits that actually have no fucking idea, and they start talking shit to me about my family, about shit they know nothing about to try and get a rise out of me emotionally.
It sounded like, you know, they made a call, whoever, and Pike must have been involved in the call, I would have thought. Mm. They made a call to say, let's try and get that extra bit of mental edge. And from what it sounds like, it was more akin to like an SAS training than what, a professional footballer's mental training would be. They went too far and then they tried to, patch it up, say nothing's wrong. But James, the issue with the AFL, it's really... I think the problems are, if it is that, we offended some Aboriginal players by going too far and we offended Jacobs by talking about his family tragedy, it's like, well, it's... While it's bad to hear, it's a coaching issue. It's a club issue. There's nothing in the book to say that they've done anything wrong.
They weren't injected with mystery drugs.
No, it wasn't sexual harassment. It wasn't drugs, and it wasn't that. It was something that they went a little bit too far on.
Mm.
And there's no way you can really wrap them over the knuckles. It's more like now you got to deal with this shit.
Mm. No, but you kind of there's two parts to that. There's like this, the media's. And don't get me wrong, I'm ropeable with the club for what they put the players through, but. You get this like sensationalist journalism where people almost are building a story by not saying what's going on.
Well, that's what's happening.
But
why
there needs to the club?
But there must have been especially non-disclosure now agreements that there's been or something, this review, Dave.
Surely they could have agreed to just provide some more information because, like you said, it's just going to keep festering and people are going to either run with stories, make stories up, or people are going to think something worse happened than it did, or something not quite as bad happened than it was actually really bad. It's got to come to a finality at some point, and it's not going to when it just keeps getting brushed over.
Well, I think it can, because going back to you, like, Nix has to deal with it. Like, he has to draw lines through it. He can do that internally. He doesn't have to do that in front of
the media. It's absolutely true.
I think, hopefully he does.
He needs to listen to what the issues were, to whoever's still there and is affected by it. And then basically take it in and then just move on because you're not going to be able to do anything, but you just need to listen and go, okay, hear you, feel you, we won't be doing that.
Who else
do we need to get rid of?
I hate the camp, and it drives me nuts, the secretness, is that a word? Of it, secrecy of it. Like you listen to Rowie and Caro talk in whispers over the fucking radio. Like as in, it's much like listening to Michelangelo Ricci. Like you actually have to know the backstory to understand what they're talking about.
Is he still involved in the media?
he is. Well, he still sells Big Issue on Waymouth Street, so it's okay.
It's a media
team. But they don't talk about it. They don't say anything. The stuff about, like, you hear this innuendo and crap. I don't know what the fuck happened. The stuff that Cornsey talked about that was outrageous, that doesn't sound that bad to me. Talk about how building the guys up on its own. That's not that bad. But obviously the other things you hear is bad. I can slightly understand, like, in the Crow's defense, you've had two examples where people have, like, opened the book on things recently. And that's ball tampering in South Africa and Essendon with drugs. And it's gone massively wrong. By being open and upfront like that, it can go massively,
I don't think the ACB opened the book on the ball tampering. They conveniently found that they had enough evidence or plausible deniability to say that it was just Warner and Bancroft.
Let me caveat that it wasn't the ACB; it was Smith's decision to do that press conference. So it was pretending to be upfront in that. Maybe it's not as good as example, but like they had. Once you do that, the media just want more. People just want more. Would you admit to stuff and say,
"So why'd you do this?"
That's right. I can understand why you want to keep it in house and try and fix it, but the problem is they never fixed it. You didn't need to fix it through the media necessarily, but you needed to fix it somehow. They just never fucking fixed it, and you can't blame players' wives for leaking to the media because it's obviously still important
and still pissing them off. And look, as Dave said, the integrity unit, the AFL integrity unit signed off on it and said, look, you didn't break any rules. You didn't do any Essendon's supplement stuff. You didn't do any Kurt Tippett dodgy Balfour's pies shit. Like, you actually didn't do anything that broke any rules.
Yeah, just push the envelope
You were just, you're just pushing the envelope. You were just being dicks, basically. And there's no rule. There's no law against being a dick. trade week.
What a fucking farce of a...
Farce of a day.
Still there, Dave?
Yeah, he'll still be there. He'll jump back in. Yeah. There he is. Yeah. He just flicked the lights off. the thought of talking about trade week. Yeah, so now it's become like a week and a half. It's like 10 days now, trade week. There are a few things that we knew were going to happen. We knew Greenwood was going to go to Gold Coast. Yeah. We knew Sauce was going to go to GWS. And then potentially we thought Betts would go to Carlton and then Keith would probably end up in the Bulldogs. All those things happened. The Jenkins one to Geelong also. Like that was like 5 minutes before the end. If they condensed the 10 days to one day, all of those things still would have happened. There is no doubt. But what the AFL instead got by putting it to 10 days is they got this fucking farce that is AFL trade radio, which just took over our airwaves and the internet with just the biggest steaming pile of shit that exists. The worst, single worst part about AFL, about AFL football, is the sort of people that appear on AFL Trade Radio. Those journos throughout the year are just the reason why people are being put off the game and are going to things like the SANFL or AFLW or any other football-related content, or even leaving and going to other, like, you know, basketball or A-League soccer or whatever. And it's those fucking clowns. It's like Damian Barrett. Yeah. It's like Tom Brown. It's like Nicky Dal Santo. Yeah. Some of his hot takes during trade.
The typewriter. It was so bad. But I listened to the last day because I thought, you know, there'll be shit going on today. Even Dal Santo and McClure are taking the shit out of how long it's going, and they've been on air for 47 hours or something, and they've had one trade go down while they've been on air. And it's like, even them who are profiting from trade radio and the long trade period are taking the piss. So, I don't get it.
Filler content. I mean, we know a thing or two about filler content. But the difference is we're doing a free fan podcast that you can choose to listen to, you can choose not to. And we don't have any advertising revenue.
I want Mitani salt to advertise us.
And we can talk about chicken salt as much as we like.
West Beach hotline.
But these guys, like, some of the shit they're talking about. Dear,
And then when Cam El-Jolman spoke, it was like,
I feel a bit sorry for Cam. Like,
Oh, yeah, not a great media performer.
Not a good and media performer thrown into the tried spotlight. Tried not
to speak about it.
Yeah, it did his
And best. He said a few things. Yeah. He said, like, maybe 5-10 things, and a lot of them were actually positive, and he actually wasn't all that critical about the camp. No. But he did say, you know, something about the culture went a bit downhill, which I think Blind Freddy
told you. It's hardly, like, you know, shocking
news. And it was front page across the nation.
But it's like, but even 5AA do it with their little updates on the app, like it says if a news article. What were you just reading before? Koshy goes the longest flight ever. But like it's
like it's got someone else in the gun.
Rich businessman takes long flight.
He updated us on what it was like to be on the flight. It's like, yeah, it would be just like the flight that we take.
But they pick imagine a 9-hour flight, but twice as long.
They pick a tiny little snippet, take it out of context. It sounds terrible. Mm. Like, this is the state of journalism now. Yes. It is just absolutely atrocious.
Anyway, but on trade, so we got...
But did you change energy provider? Did you go to Lumo?
I'm in Perth. We can't. We've only got government. Okay.
Yeah, I always buy Adelaide Tools now.
Yeah.
That's all I do. Yeah.
But Dave, so, like, we it was clear that when we didn't have a coach, that we were never going to be able to bring anyone in, because what player is going to go to a coachless team? Billy Frampton. Yeah, so someone that's been on a list for 5 years and played 3 games.
Frampton comes alive. That was the other one I wanted.
We'll go out with that. We got absolutely bagged by the Victorian media on when Terry did his A B lottery, and he didn't do that this year. He just put us in the worst performers. And you got nothing in. You got nothing in. You got all futures, but we got futures for a reason, right, Dave?
Correct. Yes, that's right, Sam.
Do you want to run us through the points?
Why do we get futures?
You did the points.
Oh, there's a couple of academy father sons that we can pick up next year. So we ended up with I can't remember exactly a couple of future thirds, a couple of future fourths, future second round pick. So really, it was. What we don't know, right, is how many players we're going to try and get in this year's draft. So we've got, you know, a range of picks. We've got pick 4, and then we've got 4 picks between, or 5 picks between.
We've got 6 20s between and 40. 4 so 50.
We can take 6 picks, and we've got, you know, the last spots of that being pick 49. But if we upgrade any rookies or pick up any delisted free agents, we're not going to use that many. So even if our fourth pick's 37, there was no real need to necessarily trade up. And by the sounds, we weren't going to get anything better than that, even though, you know, it would look like we might have been able to. Well, I think people were hoping we were going to be able to get better than that with the players we were trading out. But we got a series of picks, means we'll be able to get, hopefully, Luke Edwards and Borlase.
James Borlase next year.
Picks. So, yeah, so no, was it
Tyson Edwards' son?
Notion.
Yeah.
So the now, Dave, what do you think about Tyson Edwards' current feelings towards the Adelaide Football Club?
Well, it's hard to know.
His
like
son, his other son.
You know, we what was his son's name that we drafted?
Jackson.
So Jackson was obviously on the list for a year. There was some debate over whether he was worthy of an AFL spot. He was delisted after a year. I think he moved over to.
He went over to Werribee.
Over to Werribee this year
under Choco.
Under the guiding eyes of Choco, and played a few games, and then pulled out and wanted to work on his fitness. And so, yeah. I think the fact that he got delisted after a year probably put Tyson Edwards off, you know, offside. Edwards obviously had a little bit of issues with some of the people at the club over the years. So it was people put two and two together and assumed that that means Luke's not going to, you know, they're not going to want to play for the Crows. But who knows? He's still a father's son. He still gets an opportunity to play AFL footy. Tyson Edwards coached at Port with Nick, so maybe there's a relationship there. You know, I'd be surprised if we weren't, you know, doing everything we can to sign him up, given that he is, at this point in time, rated somewhere in the, you know, top 20 or 30 players.
Okay.
But it sounds like Borlase is rated even higher. So
Borlase is rated higher, yeah.
Yeah, Borlase is an ex-Port, is Daryl Borlase's son.
So why is he qualified as a Crows?
Because he was born in Egypt, because his dad took a job on the barley board. Yeah. And was over in Egypt at the time of his birth.
And Egypt's a recruiting zone, it's a country zone.
And since he wasn't born in Australia, he comes under the program
international
of international players.
Yeah.
So then when he moved back, he came into Norwood, and I think that means he falls under Adelaide and not Port Adelaide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And his mum was a star netballer too. Jenny... Yeah.
Borlase.
Nah. Jenny someone.
Yeah, right.
Ops, maybe, or something.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But, Ops. So okay. Good pedigree.
Yeah, so getting the picks so, next year's no real.
And all those futures add up to now that we got this because it added up to a pick in the teens, and then we got the Jenkins second. So with the 20% loading and the points all adding them up, like it's nearly a top 10 pick, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around all our futures around 10 or 11. Mm. So yeah, it makes sense.
Really. Mm. No, but it'll be plus the 5 picks we get on top of next year. So like it's just. It means that we can potentially really ball them up. And so what's happening now is that GWS is trying to get pick above the Crows because they reckon the Crows are going to go for the GWS Academy player, this green bloke. But the thing is, if they can get before the Crows and they get to pick someone else on top of Green and don't have to waste their first rounder on Green, right? So, because what's going to happen is that fourth's going to come up, we're going to put Green, and so they're picking, 17, is going to come all the way up to 4.
Yeah.
But if they can somehow get to 3, they can pick, the third best player in the comp, and then the Crows pick 4, then go, it's Green, and then it's so that instead of rolling up 17 and 20, they roll up, 30, 40, 60, 70, and roll all those crap players, and they get 2 top 5 players with their picks, so... There's a lot of strategy going on,
but GWS traded up to pick 6, so they've got pick 6 this year. So even if we could, there is a
but they'll lose pick 6 if they get Green if we go for Green.
Yeah, of course, but we can try and trade them pick 6.
Is Green related to Toby Green?
I don't know.
Jeez.
No.
No, there's more Greens. There's more than one.
Is he related to Tom Green?
His name is Tom Green. So
maybe imagine that.
Definitely related.
Do you think it is Tom Green? Tom Green.
It's actually Tom Green. So Dave, just one other thing, and I mean I probably should know this being on a football podcast, but we're losing like 9 players. But you said we're only going to get 6 in the top. We'll pick 6 this draft. So where are we going to get the other guys from?
Well, we only need 6. So your list can be, you've got to have 44 total players on your list, of which it can be a combination of 38 on your senior, 6 on your rookie, through to 40 on your main list and 4 on your rookie list. So we lost 6 players, 8 players in the
we lost 9 and we got 1 in.
Sorry?
We lost 9 and got 1 in.
Yeah, but Hunter was on the rookie list.
Oh, okay. Fair point.
We've got to take, I think we've got to take 7 picks. Six that I said, we've got pick in the 80s. I'm assuming we're going to upgrade Murphy or...
Upgrade a rookie and then pick up some more rookies. Okay.
But yeah, you get as many picks as you need players, but I think we'll end up with 38 again on our main list and 6 rookies. So we'll take 6 in the draft. Maybe, and
you can pick up delisted free agents basically with nothing.
Correct. So from I think the beginning of next month, you can pick up anyone that's been delisted.
So someone like I know it's not really the aim that we're going for, but the ex Melbourne captain that used to play for Port,
Trengove.
Is that the worst person in the world to if you're trying to get like someone to develop young guys?
We're not going to pick him up.
Yeah. Well, because we're not going to pick up someone at his age, given that we're getting rid of blokes at his age. Yeah. But no, that's someone of
age profile.
Similar 22, 23, 24-year-old.
But like Billy Stretch, someone like that, like I don't know if they'd pick him up, but someone that's played 5 years, that's still 23 or 4,
might could just be a change of scenery.
Yeah, maybe. It would be interesting to keep eye on that one because he'll come back to say you'd think.
There's that Nick Robinson bloke that we were linked with during the trade period that just got delisted by Brisbane, who's another player that we might look at getting. But I don't think we're going to go too heavy into that space.
But, I mean, obviously Matt and Brad Crouch are both going to Gold Coast, so what does that
mean? Of course, we get 1 and 2 and just kill it. What a load of shit that all was.
And still listed as, as you said on that last day you listened to Trade Radio, I think it was something that happened and they'd list like the trade still to come.
Yeah.
And it'd still be Matt and Brad or one of the two.
Because yeah. Craterface gets, his name won't go away.
His name won't go away because he keeps saying it.
Yeah, exactly. Damien Barrett is a fuckhead.
Does he have a job other than the AFL media now? Is he that?
Yeah, no. I don't know. God knows what he does.
He used to be the age or something, didn't he?
How does he sleep at night? Does he just go to bed and go, you know what, I made up some real fucking horse shit today. And I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled because I pulled something out of my ass.
And I just made it up and I said it.
And then someone reported it. Damien Barrett is saying this. And then all of a sudden it got in the news cycle. And then the manager of that player got interviewed to deny it. And then the fact that the denial was made, that's then reported on. Yeah. And then the cycle just goes on and on. And then he's just like sitting back and just counting the clicks.
I love how everyone, that's how he sleeps.
He counts the clicks.
Everyone in the media says there's a problem with the media. And they always take themselves out of the media. I'm not the media. It's like, oh no, I'm Trade Radio.
Sam, I work for the media.
Yeah,
it's like Campbell Brown. My desk is the bonnet of a Datsun. Yeah. Sunny.
That was the best. The one thing I did hear in Trade Radio is when Campbell Brown got interviewed by Trade Radio to talk about the crisis at the Gold Coast and what they're going to do. And he's like, he's lived in Melbourne for the last 5 years.
He punched the future captain.
Yeah, exactly.
I think his insights...
And the most ironic thing was he was getting interviewed by Cooney, who stole his job.
Dwayne Russell. What the fuck does he do?
Yeah, he writes in Sunday Mail.
Does he? Doesn't that say it all?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Sunday Mail.
He's trying to pretend he's being a South Australian again.
Mm.
You could almost mount an argument that Kane Cordes was one of the best media performers in Trade Week. There were so many idiots on that station.
He almost slightly defended the Crows.
He did a few times.
Dave, I believe the turn of phrase you're looking for is in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. and maybe there's a grain of truth in that. Yeah.
Very true.
Okay, should we move on? What's the time slot?
We've got about 10 minutes left. Okay. So new coach. He's a West Adelaide product.
Yep.
Went over to the Swans,
yep.
Played a lot of 170-odd games for the Swans, and then retired due to stress fractures the year that they had the drought-breaking premiership.
Yeah, so he actually, his first year and last year were the grand final years. He didn't play in either of them. I remember him vividly, but he kicked a lot of goals. He kicked 125 goals in his... Yeah,
goal-kicking mid.
I thought he was a half-backer, but anyway, half-decent. But look... The best coaches aren't the stars.
No.
So we're not going to hold that against him.
Thrilled it's not Lyon.
Yeah. I did a,
his presser, his presser was quite impressive.
He said all the right things.
Sounded genuine. Mm. Communicated well. I was talking to Jamal on the drive here. Did a bit of a mental recall, total recall, we'll call it. Little game. let's not play James. Let's turn it into total recall. It's a little Tyrus twist because he didn't organise one for Slugger and Dave. So name the coaches that have won a premiership after coaching another team. So effectively not being a freshie
in the AFL period.
Lee Matthews is one.
That's one.
Yep. And being a senior coach somewhere else.
Malthouse.
Malthouse is too.
Because he went Bulldogs and then Collingwood.
He won at two places. There's only two more.
Yeah.
In the AFL period.
The whole AFL period.
Yeah.
Think close to home.
Choco? No, Choco wasn't the same.
No.
Bloody didn't win a flag before the Crows. Yeah,
but he coached somewhere else. Is that the question?
Yeah. Did you coach somewhere else?
That's what I'm saying.
Longer than the Crows. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's only one more, which I'll give you 1 second if you want to have a crack, Dave.
No, he went the other way. Yeah, sorry.
Parker.
Yeah. So. In the whole however many years we were in the AFL era, 1990, so that would be, 29 years, four coaches And granted, they've won multiple ones, but only four coaches weren't first-time coaches at that club. So
that is one of the hottest of hot takes.
So that's a good factoid.
That's good
for the Crows. So they've gone the right way. And if we go since 2010, it's only Malthouse. Mm. So that's kind of the model. Get a first year coach. Get them while they're hot. Saying that, a lot of senior assistants has bombed recently.
Mm.
Mark Neil, McCarthy.
So I'm
slightly worried, you know, because he's a completely unknown factor.
We need a senior coach. We need a senior assistant.
We've done Phil Walsh.
He was a senior assistant.
Like, we have gone the sort of senior.
But that's where you get him from. Otherwise, you're coaching from other clubs.
Unless
you get Alistair Clarkson over, you're going to have to get a senior assistant.
I know, but you don't always. Like, Bolton wasn't a senior assistant, and Adam Simpson wasn't. And look, I don't know why you'd put someone like Ben Rutten's going to be coach next year. Yeah. Right? He's coached for, 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you'd be putting someone in charge of your football club with such small amount of experience.
Well, he's never injected a whole squad full of players with random unidentified substances and sort of pressured them not to tell anyone about it.
Ricky Nixon did a tweet of him catching up with Bomber Thompson.
Yeah.
And in the photo, Bomber Thompson has got a handful of $100 notes.
Yeah, right.
What?
A fistful of dollars.
A fist, like I said, if he's just doing it. I know that's not quite Bomber Thompson because he wasn't quite around there. Or he was sort of around there, but wasn't hurt.
Yeah. He coached him for a while.
He coached me for a while. When he was...
When he was still an ass.
When Hurdy got the ass. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. I obviously wanted to get Schofield because of his past record at the Waffle, but I don't think he was the kind of arms around coach from the games I saw of the Waffle. He was quite, you know, traditional ranting, pointing coach. But look, we'll give Knicks a go.
Well, I mean, it came down to Uze and Robert Harvey, really, didn't it? As well.
We didn't want Robert Harvey, did we?
Yeah. We didn't want Ross Lyon.
No,
we did not want Ross Lyon.
I don't think it'll happen. But if he came in and has head of football, I wouldn't say no to that.
Well, that's the issue. And Dave, get in on this as well. The two spots we've got to fill: senior assistant and head of football, and remembering that they're both not overly highly paid roles, and you've got to live in Adelaide. They're going to be hard to
be a reasonably paid role.
Oh, reasonably, but like not head coach wages. We're going to find it hard to fill. Mm. We're going to find the senior assistant really hard to fill because it's going to be hard to find a good coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, head of football, that person needs to have good connections throughout the AFL, needs to understand what a top level AFL football program looks like. They've got to be able to manage up and down. They've got to have, you know, really good people skills and experience. It's like, This is going to be tough, and it's probably why
it's going to be someone that's been out of football for a few years. There's not too many,
really, but they've got to got to understand an elite AFL program. They've got to be able to go and look what you're doing, Nicks. That's what Port Adelaide did when you were under Ken Hinckley. No, actually, Nicks, you started under fucking Matthew Primus. You're putting forward that shit. That's not good enough. That's what they need to do.
You're not going to find anyone, is what I'm getting at. Like, it's going to...
Neil Barr.
If you're going to get someone with the right level of experience, they're going to have been out of the game.
So, like, why would anyone...
Yeah, well, but that's what my concern is, Dave. That's what my concern is. But they can't be inexperienced because they've got to have a bit of weight, you know.
And they can't be too old. Like, you couldn't wheel out Blighty. No. So here you go, mate. You're
Grand Gorns. Yeah, but they wouldn't know what an elite program looks like now. And that's, you know...
Yeah. What about,
you know, Adelaide United's gone and put Bruce Jidde in? He's fucking. They gave him a job because he's got bachelors.
Type position.
Yeah, Gary Ayres maybe. But has it been AFL?
Mm. No, Gary Ayres won't come back.
No, but someone of that was a senior coach and is now coaching VFL for years. Yeah. Someone of that kind.
That's who Richmond brought in. They brought in Neil Barm after their
review. Yeah, because he'd been in Geelong.
Yeah, and they're like, all right, let's get someone across. But it's hard in Adelaide. Because you need to get someone who's either ex-SA over in Melbourne.
And who does it for Choco. Port? I don't know who does it for Port.
Choco, because you imagine bringing Choco over.
Port doesn't have a high-profile person in that role. I don't even know if, like, I don't know. I asked a work colleague who's a diehard Port fan. And he's like, I don't know.
Koshy does it all.
All right. Well, look, we're happy with Knicks. I think most are.
Happy enough.
All right, let's whip through a little bit of lettuce. We got some good lettuce.
Oh, fuck.
A little bit of lettuce. Just a little bit we got.
The logo came up.
How
do you pronounce his name? Matt Black?
No. That was Aaron. Jared. This is a good one. So Jared hit us up on Facebook. It's a little bit old, this lettuce, so apologies because we haven't recorded in 6 weeks. First off, truly crackerjack episode last week, boys. Hard-hitting interviews over wings with key personnel. One of the many reasons I tune in each week. Secondly, really appreciating the footy SA level professionalism of getting the Eps out on the same day most weeks this season. Unfortunately, little did we know we were going to not record for 6 weeks after that. Few key points. I think it wouldn't be bad to see Pike coach a year with the season go, well, okay, we won't do it, blah, 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 blah. On the other hand, it has a real Sanderson vibe now. It's just true. It was going down the toilet.
Have we got 6 weeks of lettuce?
No. Okay. Then he just goes and absolutely rags on Damien Barrett, which is absolutely fair. And jerk noms. Jamo's not going to run through a jerk this week, but Damien Barrett, fair to say, wins the year. Aaron hits us up on the Facebook as well. First of all, asking us when the latest episode is going to come out, and then says it's out, and then says love pretty much all the changes that have happened so far with the Crows.
Good on him.
I'm also a massive advocate to change our official club logo.
Yeah. It's been a bit of sizzle on the Twitters for this.
Yep, so I think the main motto for the Crows this offseason and heading into next year is the age-old adage, only time will tell. As we come off one of the largest turnovers our club has ever seen, not just on the field and off the field, what do you think the ceilings and floors are for our 2020 campaign? Do we get a sweet honeymoon period due to the new coach, or do we struggle due to blooding in so much untried young talent? Dave, what do you think our ceiling is next year and our floor next year? Where do you think we could finish?
Oh, we could finish bottom, but we could also finish.
There's no way we'll finish last.
No,
we could also make the finals, right? So we've got. There's still a dozen players that were best 22 last year that were probably fit into any other side in the AFL, right? So. But what we don't know is really how well any of our, draftees from the last 2 or 3 years can play. So if we can get a few of them in, and 4 or 5 of them can perform at a similar level to some of the draftees that Port played this year, then we could push for finals, with no doubt.
You know but who's going to be the litmus test this year, Dave? It's going to be Miller.
Say that again.
Miller is the litmus. Is he going to make it or not? And I think it hinges around that.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point. But what we don't want to do, though, is play... I would like to see blokes like, obviously, McKay, which we've talked about a lot, Seedsman, Luke Brown, Hardigan, those types struggle to make the best 22 each week. And if we can if we can get players that can take those roles on keep their spot on the side, I think we're going to have a more successful year than a lot of people would be giving us credit for. You got Chase Jones, who's going to come in and play for you. Hopefully, Ned McHenry can come in and play for you. Himmelberg, hopefully, step up and take Jenkins' role. Gallucci, he's had a little bit of a go, but not really enough in the midfield if he can come in. McAdam or Stengel as a small forward can come in. You get a few of them to click and you go okay with injuries for some of your key blokes. There's no reason why we couldn't. I don't think we'll go anywhere in finals, don't get me wrong, but we could push into 7th or 8th if they can go well. On the other hand, if we're relying on 10 or 12 blokes to get us through another year, then that's when we could finish very close to the bottom.
Mm. So let's be Blade. Let's Bay Blade. Thankfully, the off-season has been far more promising than the season itself. Deadwood has been cleared. Contracts not given out for no reason. Nick's mentioning McHenry when asked about the midfield. quality signings around the coach and bring on 2020. Feels weird being positive.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, yeah, same.
Reset button. Yeah. Mm. Be great.
Absolutely. Andy, fresh from the one night stand in Lucindale. He's probably just slept off the last month. Wake up on a park bench.
How'd you go, Andy? Did you get lucky?
Yeah, let us know. Will the Crows get a pick in the teens to pick up Lucindale Leg Arms version 2, Will Gould? Oh, I've heard he's the next Glenn Jakovich.
Shit.
What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, I think he's asked his own question.
Oh, I'd love to. So Tyro came over a couple of weeks ago and we watched the Mighty Bays get up for their first flag in however many years it's been, 30-odd years. Watching Will Gould run around in the defensive 50, just throwing his weight around, very exciting prospect. Can we get a pick in the teens? Who knows? Obviously, we can trade picks up until draft night and anything can happen. I'd be a bit disappointed if we gave up our pick 4.
It sounds like we're considering drafting back, though, Dave. While,
but if we can somehow fashion something to get, maybe 23 and 28 or whatever we've got into the teens, we could maybe get him. He'll probably go, by the sound, somewhere between 15 and 20. But he's exciting to watch. He's a bit unfashionable. I think he finished pretty much last in everything at the AFL draft combine.
He might slide to 23.
No, I think there's enough people that have seen him play. He's got a good footy brain. I like to pick him up, and that's when
Port's not massive
to get 12 and 18. I was a little bit worried that there might be a couple of those SA blokes that they've got their eyes on.
Yeah, fair point.
Mm. All right. Win Lunch, who's now no longer called Win Lunch, he's called Fire Tom Dave Brett, says, now that Burton's gone, the next most pressing issue, similar to what we heard earlier, the logo.
Yeah.
Much like with the review, can you please mobilise and unite the podcast under the hashtag? We didn't mobilise and unite the hashtags, we just jumped on the bandwagon.
I'm very much bandwagon. 6 or 7 people that listen to us.
Hashtag bandwagon.
Yeah, you're one of the bigger podcasts, we're driving that one. But the logo, look, the classic Crows one is always the best.
The 90s.
Yeah, red beak.
The flying crow with the things coming off the back of it. Yeah,
wetting its beak. Yep. Why do we mess with perfection? Yeah,
well, everyone changed it. I reckon they were almost possibly like AFL designs.
Possibly, because they were all template, weren't they?
Yeah, and they were all the same, and then they all disappeared around the same time. Yeah.
All the songs changed as well. It was all sort of a modern recording of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they've gone back to the old sort of classic trombone, big band.
Can we just really briefly just talk about the big sound themes great. That came out before it was good fun? How good was that? I invested hours watching big sound memes videos in the lead up to Grand Final Day, and I was so excited at the thought of the big sound coming out, and then it was just what a shit granny. Really ruined it. Vardy Magic 1. Can we get a decent senior assistant coach for next to Nick's?
We're worried.
Yes. Yeah. He did a little bit of a nice little double entendre there, buddy. Yeah, will the Crow's Nest be back in 2020 to chronicle this new Adelaide FC's rebirth in this post-Betts, post-JJ, post-Greenwood, post-Keith, post-Cam Ellis Yeoman, post-Source era? The answer is maybe.
Yeah.
Only if Marty Magic and others give us content.
Yeah. How can you wet our beak? What's in it for us?
That's it. J Mac, not sure if it's lettuce or a jerk, but how shit is Trade Radio? The trade period only needs about 3 days, as it is, without Barrett, manure, and corns, etc., making shit up for nearly 2 weeks. Should be a restriction that there must be at least 40% truth behind what they're hearing. But of course, that would actually mean that there's zero content at all. Most of what they say is absolute junk. Win Lunch, Fire Tom, Dave Brett, sorry, Croc Media, a blight upon our game.
Yeah, isn't it just?
Did any nesters take Jammo up on his suggestion to lay a steaming rail on their front step after a night on the Guinnesses at the Griffin's Head Hotel?
The Griffin's Head.
Yeah, because that's right next door.
The Cranker. Yeah.
The Cranker. It's between the Cranker. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
so, no, it's Cranker. It's right off it's the Cranker. Right.
So you go Griff, and then you go Cranker, and then you go Steaming Turd.
Yeah. I haven't seen any. Mm. I've tried to just go off SEN.
Mm.
Like, I've tried to make a personal
stand. Like how I'm kind of going off buying from China. It's my little personal stand.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should all. I'm going to push it now.
Yeah.
Off China hashtag. But so you're off.
I'm just trying to like, it's insidious and horrible, and it makes me upset listening to it.
It does.
I tried to do for Trade Radio, but there's something addictive about it. It's like sort of picking a scab.
Mm.
Like the hurt's so good.
Remember what Johnny Cash say? quoting on each now. I hurt myself today.
Whatever it is. Not a good feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I unfortunately, I'm one of the listeners. Like I think some mornings it's just like, oh, it'll be better tomorrow, won't it? Like it'll be better. I want to know. It's fucking horrible, and I hate myself for it.
It's the sunk cost fallacy. That's the thing. You've invested all this time in it, and then you just feel well.
Oh, thankfully they didn't bring Cool Rich up. Because actually, if they did call Rich, I would have just turned off.
Yeah, you're right. He got nothing about Rich.
He did nothing about Rich. Mm. Trade Radio is horrible.
Yeah.
So can I just chime in? Because I think a few people have joked, and most of the jerks, about Trade Radio and Barrett.
Yeah.
But can I just do a special shout out, a very, very special shout out, to the fact that there is like a Channel 7 AFL Journalist Award.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brown won that.
Did he?
Basically, as an employee of the AFL and Channel 7.
Wow.
He won it as the best AFL journalist.
As the one who is employed by both parties.
Yeah. It's quite.
There was another one of that. Someone else won the AFL award. What was it? Oh, fuck.
Anyway. It was Tom Brown was the one that I remember. And his sort of gitty face.
Oh, yeah. Very
sort of next to the little cheap trophy that Kerry Stokes sort of wore from China. Hashtag don't buy China.
Cockatoo Crow is very similar to you, Jerry. Second this, Trade Radio is absurd. I listen for 5 minutes and then spend the next few hours furious at myself at Damien Barrett and a world in which Sam McClure is employed.
That's great.
Doesn't need to be able to.
I like it. Look, that's it for the lettuce. Thank you, everyone, for writing in this year and providing probably about 75% of our content via our socials and Gmail and whatnot. Just while Jammo queues up Peter Frampton, a big thank you to everyone who listened in, all the nesters. Thank you for contributing. It's been a pleasure. When the Crows perform well, it's far more enjoyable to record this podcast. We will. There's a good chance we'll be back next year.
Yes,
A good chance in some form or another.
Slugger monologue.
Chicken salt.
Tara does reviews of sort of Danish crime TV shows.
And we'll update we'll post a link to our Spotify playlist of intros and outros, which is much like the Crows' recent form. There's some hits, but there's some stinkers. But it makes for interesting. You just can't stop listening.
Yeah.
Much like the Crows. But no, thank you very much, everyone. We will hopefully see you on the airwaves soon. Pete Frampton. One where the guitar like goes in the voice. He does the voice guitar.
It's the other one. Sorry.
This is great.
Just gotta give it some time. Give it some time.
Frankie goes to Hollywood.
Can we play Frankie Relax?
That's what I was expecting. Different band, right? Cover this.
A reggae band.
Yeah. Oh, Ubi 40.
May have been.
Yeah.
It was. That is some dodgy covers. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah. The most purchased double live album ever.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
Frankie Comes Alive.
Frankie Comes Alive.
Yeah. Is that right?
Double Live.
The most purchased.
The most purchased.
Double Live. That's a very...
It's in the thousands.
that's like about as niche as that AFL Channel 7 media.
Call it.
Well done.